Things of earth will grow strangely dim. All the stuff will grow strangely dim as we look to Christ. And we are getting ready to hear more of that. Amen. As God gives us his word through his vessel of the hour, Elder Sister Karen Liverman. So now let us receive God's word coming through Elder Sister Karen Liverman with a very hearty amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. We thank and praise the Lord for the opportunity of coming before you this morning. I want you guys to pray for me. Amen, amen. It's my desire that those things that the Lord has shared with me, I'll be adequate in giving them to you so that you can take them and use them in your daily life. That you might be inspired and edified to make changes toward the things that God is calling and causing you to do. We want you to be bold as lions as you go forth doing those things that the Holy Spirit reveals to you that is right for you. You know, there's a scripture that says that when we compare ourselves by ourselves among ourselves, we're not wise. We have to be cognizant of the fact that the Holy Spirit has a plan for you. And that your life in him is as individual as the snowflakes and the sand of the sea. Would you please bow your head in prayer? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you thanking you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are our very own Father and we're your children and we have the confidence in the Word and the Holy Spirit that we belong to you. Hallelujah. We're asking, Lord, that you might help us to have open ears, seeing eyes, that we can behold the mysteries of the doctrines of the grace of God. And Father, we'll be mindful to give you the praise and the honor. Lord, remember those that are yet not here on their way and those that are in our worldwide web audience. Those, Lord, that are making great sacrifices to go deeper into the things of God. Lord, we ask these prayers that you might be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty, all righty. When you see me coming, where am I coming from? Ephesians. And when I get through with Ephesians, where do I go? Colossians. Yeah. I'm there. Why? You may say, Sister Karen, aren't you tired of that?
No.
Well, actually, I'm not. You know why? Because when I look into Ephesians, and when I look into Colossians, and when I look into Romans, I understand more of the mysteries of the doctrines of the grace of God, that it is not about me. Everybody say, not about me. But it is all about him. Yeah, he increases and I decrease. Who am I? I have nothing to bring to the table. It is all about him. Oh, yeah, I know things are happening in your life that you may not understand and you may not be happy with. But that's your life now, according to what? According to who?
God.
It's according to God. You can rest in the faith, realizing that regardless of how it looks, you win. Hallelujah. He has made you more than a conqueror. You are more than victorious in what he has planned for you. May not look like it today. Hallelujah. But God is definitely in control. Not you. So, reader, can you please turn to Colossians chapter what? 1, verse what? 3 to 5. Oh, yeah, we do it every time. Ephesians, I'm sorry.
We're reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, first from the King James Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Can you do the Greek, please? Yes.
Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 from the interlinear Greek text. Blessed the God and the Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us in each and every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ, as he chose us in him before foundation of world to be or being us holy and unblemished before him in love, having predestinated us to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of the will of him.
Oh, the will of him. It was God's will that you come to him. He caused you to come. He caused you. He initiated it. And he didn't do it when you gave your hand to the preacher, marched down the aisle, when you were baptized, when you were filled with the Holy Ghost, when you spoke in tongues, and, or all the other things that we do in time that we generally attribute to salvation. Oh, no, no, no. You were elected in eternity before the foundation to be a member of the body of Christ. And can you read, please, this time, Romans chapter 9, verses 12 to 13? That's also referenced in our lesson. I normally allude to it, but if you'd be kind enough to read it, because some people may not think it's there. We talk about it all the time. We talk about the fact that God chose one over the other before they were even born. You may think maybe it's not there, Sister Karen, but it is. And we're going to read it today.
Praise God.
Romans chapter 9, verses 12 and 13 in the King James as well as the Greek. It's that important.
Now, Romans chapter 9, verse 12 and 13, first from the King James Version. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now from the interlinear Greek text, Romans chapter 9, verse 12, 13. Not, it was said in here, verse 12.
For not yet.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Not of works.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Not of works. Say it again.
Not of works. But of the calling, it was said to her, the greater will serve the lesser. Even as it has been written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated.
Yeah. Now that was said before they were even born. They had not done anything. For those of you who think that we're good enough to be saved and because of what we do, we are better or we are part of the body. No, no, no. It has nothing to do with your works. It has nothing to do with you at all. It has everything to do with the Lord and his eternal calling, his eternal working.
Yes,
and that's got to be established in your mind that wherever you are there because it's the will of God concerning you.
Praise
and it's
him.
According to God for you.
Praise
Can
him.
We finally finish it with Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10? And I'd like you to read that in the Greek as well as the King James. You have to understand that your life is completed in Christ in God.
Amen.
God is not making daily decisions for you. And this is where we get confused. This is where we get God confused with Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. This is where we get to thinking that God is up in heaven. He's making a list and he's checking it twice. And he'll do this for you if you're good, and he'll do this for you if you're naughty. And that has nothing to do with what is going on or what's coming into your life. Whatever challenges and trials we have that come, they come to pass.
All right.
That's the reason they come. They come for a divine will and purpose of God that we don't always have privy to understand why.
Right.
We don't know why we can do one thing and come out with a different outcome. Someone else can do that same thing. They can come out with another outcome.
Right.
I have like 10 children, and all 10 of them are different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all different. Some of them I'm happy about. Some of them I ain't as happy about. I love them all, but sometimes I don't even like them. But quietness kept sometimes I ain't pleased with me, myself, either.
Amen.
But that's part of life, isn't it? You know, I teach parents, and I tell them that with my kids, I had one I could give the eye to straighten right up. Another one would give me the eye back. And then another one would say, Ma, what's in your eye? Just went completely over their head. They didn't connect none of it. What am I saying? I'm saying they're all different. Can't compare one to the other. Can't compare your life to the life of your friend or your neighbor. I can't compare my life to Sister Cutler's. What God has for Sister Cutler is different than what he got for me. And then yet we put Sister Ernestine in it. It's a completely different thing altogether again. And that's because God is who he is, and our lives are according to his will and divine purpose. So we can read Colossians. We'll complete this part.
Now from the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, King James Version first. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
In the Greek, please.
Now from the interlineal Greek text, Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are in him, having been filled, who is the head of all rule and authority.
Amen, amen. What we're going to talk about today is our spiritual life versus our worldly life. So we are going to be traveling up and down the Roman road and doing some comparisons. I'm reading from the document that's entitled Synchronizing the Elect's Worldly and Spiritual Lives. And it starts, once the child of God has been imparted with the knowledge of God's eternal decrees concerning one's sonship position status in Christ, it should instill a sense of personal commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ as head and authority of everything associated with one's life's functioning. The informed comprehension of one's status as a member of the body of Christ is in effect the manifestation that an individual is regenerated as a believer possessing a new nature that is Christ-centered, which is diametrically opposed to the depraved, self-centered human nature that desires to continue to prioritize the earthly things of the flesh. This results in a continuing conflict as one is torn between the dual identification with the two natures, in that this competition produces constant variances throughout one's earthly abode. Amen. The Holy Spirit who resides within the believer is commissioned according to God's design. Everybody say, according to God's design.
Right. According to God's design.
To effectuate one's growth spiritually to maturity and thereby provide spiritual development to overcome the pull of the self-centered nature. At this time, Deacon, I'd like you to read Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 2. King James, please.
All right. Now Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, King James Version. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Mm-hmm. Now from the interlinear Greek text, what therefore shall we say? May we continue in sin in order that grace may abound?
And what's the answer?
Not may it be.
Amen.
Who we die to sin, how yet shall we live in it?
Okay, Paul answers that question. Shall grace abound that you continue in sin? Oh no. God forbid. Now we're going to follow that with Romans chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. Did you know we are a teaching church?
Amen.
Yeah. And I'm expecting you to go and look these scriptures up and study them so the Holy Spirit can minister and make them real to you. The scripture says the entrance of his word brings light. Yeah. Yeah. From the word. So everything we do has to be according to the word. Everything we do and we teach and preach at Grace Gospel is backed up with scriptures. And you may say, oh my God, you all do a lot of scriptures. Yeah, That's so that you can have a lot of light and a lot of life that comes from that light. Okay.
Amen. Now, Romans chapter 7, verses 18 and 19 from the King James Version first. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not.
Oh, yeah.
For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do.
All in.
Now from the interlinear Greek text, Romans chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. For I know that not dwells in me, this is in the flesh of me. For to wish is present to me,
but
to work the good, not. For not what I wish I do good, but what I wish not evil, this I practice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is what I find myself doing. That I would do, I do not. That I would not, that I find myself doing. And that's with all of us. If you are honest, and you can be honest with yourself, you know plenty of times you've wanted to do something, you say, oh my God, why did I do this? Well, it's according to what we're just talking about, that there is a war. You have a battle between your spiritual life and your worldly life. It is in this sense that the Apostle Paul makes his appeal for dedication and devotion to God in his epistles to the Romans. Here we view Romans 12:1 from the Greek text. I exhort you, therefore, brethren, through the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living, holy, and well-pleasing sacrifice to God, your reasonable service. Here the Greek participle rendered therefore expresses the consequence of those who privy the knowledge of the eternal workings of salvation. The phrase rendered I exhort thee therefore expresses the basis upon which Paul rendered exhort, entreat, or beseech. The Greek phrase rendered through the mercies of God defines the motivation upon which one service to God should be rendered, such as God's magnanimous love that expresses itself in mercy toward his elect. Note the view is that God has sovereignly afforded mercy to his elect as it is extrinsically amalgamated in his electing and calling such in the eternal sphere, which is so adequately discoursed in Romans chapter 9:11, which we've already read. He elected you, he chose you, he picked you. You are special to him.
Hallelujah.
And as a special part of the body of Christ that he has put you in,
amen,
he has equipped you to do the things that he's called you to do.
Yes.
He will cause it to come to pass.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. This is the process of God's design for enlightened ones to present your bodies a living, holy, and pleasing, well-pleasing sacrifice to him. Here we observe the Greek infinitive rendered present as it basically denotes to place beside, hence believers are to be available to God. The Greek word rendered holy in this case conveys the thought of separation. Thus, because believers are separated unto God in Christ, their daily life functionings as members of the body of Christ should be devoutly prioritized in his service. In this view, one should be placed at God's disposal for his glory in every sense. This mode of dedication is described by the phrase sacrificial living or living a sacrifice. The phrase rendered well-pleasing to God denotes that which is very delightful and gratifying to God, engendering that which is highly acceptable unto him. Basically, this entails a lifestyle that prioritizes thinking and acting in a manner according to the type of sacrificial living is adequately accessed by the phrase, your reasonable service. It is reasonable for us to do and be involved in the things of God. It is reasonable for us to show Christ in the world. It is reasonable for us to take the high road and to do those things that are prioritizing godliness. I'm not talking about works now. We're not getting into a works plan, but we're getting into a lifestyle plan. The Greek objective rendered reasonable, rational, or spiritual empathetically describes such living as well within acceptable limitation of a committed walk in God. The Greek noun rendered service includes the study of God's word, individual beneficial functions for the welfare of the local assembly, and the consistent attendance of regulated congregational worship assembly. Right. Certainly, the offering of the elect spirit, soul, and body in God in the above manner is well reasonable, considering what he has wrought for us, his beloved, by his supreme sacrifice. Hallelujah. When the elect are blessed to internalize what Christ did for his beloved, such as regenerated ones have received the nature of God through his eternal decrees by the Holy Spirit, in the eternal sphere, it produces certain effects. In this sense, God's people begin to identify more with the new in Christ nature and less with the old in Adam nature.
Yes.
Now, becoming a Christian does not automatically eliminate the influence of the Adamic nature, but God's process of imparting truth is designed to develop the mind to work against one's depraved tendencies. What am I saying there?
Yes.
We used to sing a song. When I got saved, I looked at my hands, and my hands looked new. I looked at my feet, and my feet did too. However, unless your mind is renewed to the things of God, those same hands that got into mischief will still get into mischief. And unless you develop your knowledge of who you are in Christ, them same feet that took you to mischief will keep taking you to mischief. Yeah. How do we change? The Holy Spirit empowers us to change through knowledge of who we are in Christ. Knowledge of what God has done for us in his eternal workings and plans. And that's where you come in. Hallelujah. That's where you come in by being involved in Bible study. That's where you come in by coming to services. That's where you come in by going on our website. And I specifically say our website. It's a poor frog that don't praise their own pond. We have a dynamic website. Can we give the Lord a hand? Amen, amen. It's like going to college. Amen, amen. The things that the Lord has blessed our pastor to write, and it's all of God. Sometimes he's told me when he's writing it, he don't even realize he's writing it. He just has to step aside and say, oh my God, this is so wonderful. This is so marvelous. It's not about him. It's all about God and what he wants you to have. But my goodness, turn off the games and all that other foolishness you get on your computer and do, and go and get into a Bible study and study some of those charts. And that's going to bless your spirit and your heart and encourage you to do the other things of God that he already has preordained for you. It's going to strengthen you to stand against the wiles of the devil and to be the overcomer and the conqueror that he's already made you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit of Truth causes informed ones to submit to the Holy Spirit, in effect transforming one's character and controlling the interaction between the two natures, which causes the mindset of one's new nature to be strengthened. You are able to stand because you've already been made to stand in his eternal plan and working. There is nothing that you cannot overcome in Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That is what the Apostle Paul has reference to in making the statement, and this is the Greek text, that he might give you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. And that's Ephesians 3:16. That's part of that Ephesians prayer. It goes on and talks about how we're strengthened in the inner man through the knowledge of who we are in Christ. Hallelujah. The key to disciplining the old nature is the growth and development of one's spiritual identification with the new nature. This all depends on the will of the Holy Spirit in each life. This is why there is so much emphasis upon maturation in God's word. Here you think about in our gospel, in the mystery, in the epistles of Paul, You constantly look into Rome, Romans and Ephesians and Colossians, and you can see a contrast. Romans, Ephesians, Colossians is all talking about spiritual invisible. It's all talking about the deeper things of God that you grow into as you grow into grace. Contrast that with the Corinthians. Oh, my God. They were earthy. They were physical. They were carnal. They bickered about eating meat. They had a guy in there going with his mama, his stepmama. All that you look about in the Corinthian, it's all physicality that is emphasized that Paul is constantly bringing down. He constantly tells them, I want to give you some strong meat, but you're just babes in Christ. You need some milk, need a little pablum, some formula. Yeah, because you can't take the more meatier things, the more mature things. And that's where we have to come from. We have to come from being like the Corinthians, earthy and carnal, and always moved by what we could see, those sightseers. And we have to get into the deeper things of God, walking by faith, those things that are invisible and eternal, those higher order things. And that's what you're going to find when you study Romans and Ephesians and Colossians. You stay in Romans and in Corinthians where they're talking about speaking in tongues and doing a lot of being baptized and all. And listen, if that's where you are, amen, the Holy Spirit will move you from glory to glory. Hallelujah. But what we're saying is that there is more. There's more. And you get it by digging into Romans and Colossians and Ephesians. Hallelujah. And looking into those spiritual invisible things of God. Hallelujah. Those things that are eternal in the heavens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In order for one to have a clear understanding of the divergent natures, it is important to comprehend the contrast between the two as well as the results of what each produces in the daily walk of the child of God. With this knowledge in hand, one is better able to ascertain the workings of each. Now we're going to look at the spiritual life versus the worldly life. The spiritual life, number one, the new creation, that is your divine nature. Corinthians chapter 5:17 says, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be called the righteousness of God in him. So that's your new spiritual life. The old worldly life, it's the depraved nature. And you'll find that reference in Romans chapter 8:7-8. And it talks about being of sin. Now, remember earlier we talked about Romans 7, those things you didn't want to do, you find yourself doing them. Then Romans 8:1 starts with, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. And then it gives you a contrast in Romans 8:7-8 about the sinner you were, not now, that you were. The spiritual life increases your spiritual understanding. There we reference Ephesians 1:18 and Colossians 1:9. And it talks about being filled with knowledge of his will in those scriptures. Your worldly life, that's your self-centered life. We reference 2 Timothy 3:2. And it talks about men shall be lovers of themselves, of their own selves, promoting their own program. Hallelujah. Putting Christ's life on the back burner. You've even heard some Christians say, well, I can lay my Christianity aside. God forbid. What would you be like laying your Christianity aside? You just like what you were in the natural, not in the spiritual. Because the spirit man cannot sin. That's the man that's in the image of Christ. But this other one that you're looking at got a lot of problems. I'll start with me. Yeah, I've already told y'all I'm a murderer. Yeah, I just ain't murdered nobody. God held it back. But I've gotten that mad. Yeah. And you got some things you're working on, too. When we talk about the spirit life, we're talking about the fruits of the spirit. We reference Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 20 to 24. The fruits of the spirit. And that versus the worldly life, which is the works of the flesh. And you can reference Galatians chapter 5:17-21 on that. The spiritual life, that's your spirit life. And it shows results in your daily living. The spirit life, the results are true Christian-like character. Christ-like. You living Christ-like. And that's referencing Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And we've already exegeted that, where it talks about the Christ life is your reasonable service unto him. That versus the worldly life, which is selfish in its nature. And that references 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. So you see the contrast there. That talks about how Timothy, he's encouraging Timothy to reprove and rebuke and to exhort those to come away from those carnal things. Then we reference the spirit life, loving and serving others. We reference 1 Thessalonians 4 and 9, when it talks about that we've not so learned Christ, that the Holy Spirit has poured his love upon you. Hallelujah. That we have the ability to love others and to show empathy and to show compassion. Amen. Yeah. And then that versus the worldly life, which is self-serving. It's ego-based. Hallelujah. It's ego-minded. It's me first. Mm-hmm. It's me, myself, and mine. Mm-hmm. And that's what you want to come away from. Right. And that references Romans chapter 12, verses 3 and 16. Hallelujah. Yeah. Then the spirit life and our prioritizing eternal things. Mm-hmm. That reference is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And that contrasts to the worldly life, which seeks materialism and self-power. And that reference is 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 to 11 and 17. This is where it talks about for the love of money being the root of all evil. Everything is not based on materialism here and now. Realize that what is here is not going to be later. And do you know anybody? Anybody that took anything with them when they left? What did you come here with?
Nothing.
And what do you leave here with?
Nothing.
Oh, yeah. My car, my home, my children, my job. And we could go my, on and on and on. When you take your last breath and realize we live by grace one breath at a time. God gives you a breath. And then you have to trust him and believe in him for the next one. Because when he stops giving you breath, what happens to you? And all that you have put your time in building, where does it go? Does it go with you when you take that last breath? It stays right here. So it doesn't belong to you anyway, does it? And that's what we're talking about, the contrast between our spirit life and our worldly life. The results of that spirit life is a life of love of ministry. And we talk about the ministry. What are we talking about?
The message.
Everybody say the message. What is the message? The message is that Jesus is our all in all and that we're complete in Christ. The message can be found in the 14 epistles of Paul. Hallelujah. Stop eating that Bible soup where you're mixing everything up and you got a spiritual tummy ache. Because what works in one dispensation under one economy is not for you. Amen, amen. I think about my husband every time I eat a little barbecue. Yeah. I think about when he was so confused. Why was he confused? Mixing messages, crossing dispensational lines. Read somewhere in the law that you couldn't eat no pork. So he's going to stop us all from eating pork. I say, well, now, you don't have to eat no barbecue, but you can't make me stop. Yeah, we had a holiday, and my mother had barbecued, and, oh, my God, we had these ribs and this chicken, and it was smelling good and looking good. And then he go ask me, is that barbecue pork? You know that barbecue is pork. Yeah. But see, he's all bound up and tied up under the law. Yeah, told the kid. My kids told me, they say, Mommy, can we have some pig meat? You know, he had took all my spices, threw stuff out, going under the law, mixing messages. Stay out of other people's mail. Stick to your gospel and your message. And the Holy Spirit will give you a love for the message because it's liberizing. It will liberate you. There's liberty in Christ. Hallelujah. And there's liberty of knowing who you are in him. Peace follows that, not confusion and turmoil. So your spiritual life, you will generate a love of the ministry or the message. Worldly life, You have nothing but the cares of this world. And when you're pursuing the world, you got to follow deceitfulness. Hallelujah. And we reference Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 to 11 and verse 17. When we start talking about our spiritual life and the results, we will realize what our blessed hope is. Our eternal life, our hope in Christ. And we reference Philippians 1 and 6. It talks about how God will empower us to do that good work until the coming of Christ. That's what you're going to find there. That's the blessed hope. This year I've had a lot of deaths in my family, a lot of people leaving that I cared a lot about. But I sorrow, but not like those with no hope. My hope is in Christ and that I'll see them again. Where did I get that from? I get it from the word. And that's what we're to encourage ourselves with, that we have the blessed hope of eternal life in Christ. Hallelujah. What's the worldly life? Oh, my God. It's a transient life. You know, you go back to the worry. You go back to looking at the stock market. You go back to wondering about whether or not your job and your plant going to close, and whether or not they're going to have a pension for Detroit public school teachers. And you can just go on and on and on how we get caught up in that whirlwind. And we reference 1 Timothy 6 and 7. Keep in mind, you brought nothing in, you take nothing out. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Hallelujah. And then finally, let's conclude our little document. And it states that, in conclusion, it is well to note that the Word of God in great detail provides enlightenment concerning the nature of the new man in Christ and the exercising of love. It would certainly bode well for God's people to realize that, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a power and love and sound thinking. And we reference 2 Timothy 1 and 7. This engenders the following. We have power to grow and develop into maturity by the Holy Spirit. We have love to live sacrificially to respond to Christ. That love is poured out on us by the Holy Ghost. We have sound thinking to live reasonably in accordance with spiritual knowledge. And we reference the Ephesians prayer that you find in Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 17. Therefore, all who are in Christ possess all things necessary to live a godly life, to practically adapt the mindset set of the new nature in Christ, to manifestly testify of his great love toward his own, as well as to demonstrate the resources for all of this through his submission to the Holy Spirit's control. With this comprehension, we are confident that he has sufficiently provided everything. Everybody say everything. For the ultimate benefit of his elect. And we are his elect. Walk by faith, saints, and not by sight. Viewing life from the vertical plane of one's sonship position in Christ and what God has done for us through his eternal plan of salvation should bring peace to your daily living. Walk by faith, saints.